Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus drove demons out of many people, freeing them from self-destruction. There is a realm of the Spirit, a realm of conflict between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. Today, lessons from the Master Teacher on how to fight this battle. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Now we turn to Luke chapter 11 for a lesson on getting spiritual warfare right.
Today it is my privilege to speak to you about the unseen spirit world. First of all, we must recognize that the spirit world is a place of great conflict. Because it is there where God exists, we don't see him with our naked eyes. It is there where angels exist, and it is there where Satan exists with all of his multiplied thousands of demons. So it's a place of activity and a place of great conflict. Let me say also that it is a place of tremendous influence. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that Daniel was praying one day and he didn't understand why his prayer wasn't heard. And after 3 weeks of prayer, it was revealed to him through the angel that came that the prince of Persia withstood Daniel's answer to prayer and the angel of God. The prince of Persia. That leads us to believe that Satan, who stands above it all because he is only one being, but has multiplied millions of cohorts, that Satan's standing there, he's organized it all. And that's why the Bible speaks about principalities and powers and unseen forces. And I can imagine that he assigns one to Persia, one to the United States, one to Great Britain, and all of the different countries of the world. And then under them, there are other spirits who have responsibilities. And it gets right down to our families, where there is a tremendous amount of conflict in many homes. And it gets right down to the individual. And that's why the Bible teaches that Satan is able to put thoughts into our minds that we think are our own. The best example, of course, comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, where you have Ananias and Sapphira deciding to tell a lie, and Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to the lie to the Holy Spirit?" Now, when Jesus arrives on earth, all of the forces of wickedness all converge in what we call Israel. They were all there. And that's why you have Satan showing up so often personally. It is Satan personally who tempted Jesus in the wilderness. It is Satan who shows up. And the reason is because with the coming of Jesus and the coming of light, all the forces of darkness converged there in the land. And that's why in the New Testament, you have so many different stories about people who were demonized. And it is because there was a special, it seems to me at least, a very special reason why you have all of this activity against Jesus. For example, when he was first born, Satan tried to kill him. And he did that using King Herod, who slew all of the boys who were 2 years of age and under in the environs of Bethlehem, hoping that he would also be able to capture and kill Jesus. So Satan has always been against Jesus and trying to do him in. All of that leads us to the 11th chapter, the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11. And I want you to follow along in your Bibles because we're going to go down this passage that Jesus Christ is involved in. And if you're using the Bible that is in the seat ahead of you, it is page 869. Follow along in Luke chapter 11. Notice that it says in verse 14, and that's where we're going to pick it up, 11:14. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. I need to pause there. Critics of the New Testament say that the ancients were very primitive, and they ascribed all disabilities and human weakness to Satan, and that's what you have appearing here in the New Testament. You have it attributed to a demon. So I need to clarify that there are passages in the New Testament that show very clearly that oftentimes there are physical disabilities where Satan is not involved, or any of his minions. For example, in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, the man who was born blind, Jesus said it's not because of any sin in his life, it's not because of the sin of his parents. There are other reasons why this man was born blind. So we can't ascribe all disability to Satan. But there are times when the devil will actually use his authority, and we don't know why he was given authority in this case, to bring about some physical ailments. So Jesus casts out this demon, and a man who could not speak because he was mute begins to talk, and everyone begins to marvel. Now Jesus, at this point in his ministry, was at a place where there was a great deal of criticism against him that was building. And the criticism was for various reasons. Some people said that it is because he had large crowds. He had larger crowds than the Pharisees, and they were jealous of him, the scripture says. But then Jesus was also making those deity statements, those claims that he was God. And so people came from Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees. They left Jerusalem. They went into the Galilee area where this takes place, and they were there to accuse him. They couldn't deny the miracles because they were too obvious, so they did the next best thing as far as they were concerned. When people don't have a legitimate criticism, what they do is they resort to slander, and that's what happened here. You'll notice that there were some among them, the scripture says, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Who in the world is Beelzebul? In the Old Testament, there's a reference to Beelzebul as being the chief god of the pagans, the Canaanites, and he was their chief god. So over there in 1 Kings chapter 1, it's referred to as Beelzebub, here Beelzebul. There are many theories as to why there is a change in spelling that we need not go into, except to say that this word that was attributed to Canaanite gods was now attributed to Satan. And so what they are saying is he is casting out demons by Satan, the prince actually of demons. So that's where they land with their criticism of Jesus, this terrible slander. Now Jesus answers them, and he does it by irrefutable logic, gives them two things that indicate that they are wrong. Thank you very much. First of all, Jesus says this. He, knowing their thoughts, verse 17, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. Jesus says, first of all, Satan does not have a divided kingdom. Could you imagine if Satan began to cast out his own demons? Obviously, his kingdom would be weakened and his kingdom would fall. You just don't have that in the evil world, though sometimes you have it even in, quote, the good world. But there is this important point. A divided kingdom can't stand, at least very long. This is true of Satan's kingdom. It is also true of churches. If you have a church that is divided, and all of us know the history of many church splits as we have seen them throughout the years, if you have people who have to make up their mind, are you on this side of the aisle in this debate or are you on that side, and they begin to snipe at one another and accuse one another and slander one another, that church cannot stand, or else it will be greatly weakened. Families, same thing. Some of you come from homes where there is constant confusion. I cannot exaggerate too much that what the devil wants in our homes today is confusion and hostility. So that one family member snipes at the other, one says blue, the other says red, one says green, the other says pink, and no matter where they are at, nobody rejoices in the success of another family member because all of them are hostile to one another. That is the kingdom of Satan. And no family that is divided against itself can stand very long with any sense of dignity and a positive influence. So Jesus says, if you can't deny that I'm casting out demons, and they couldn't deny that, for you to say that it is satanic is foolish. Even Satan is wise enough to know he doesn't cast out those who are doing his bidding, even if they're not doing it quite right. Then there's a second reason that Jesus gives. He says in verse 19, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Jesus is saying, now, you folks have Jewish exorcists, and they did. Since the time of Solomon, there were exorcists who had certain incantations that they used for demonized people, and perhaps they worked, perhaps they didn't work, but at least the claim was that they worked. And Jesus said, if I'm casting out demons and I'm actually doing it in the name of Beelzebul, in whose name and by whose authority do your children, your relatives, your exorcists cast them out? They must be doing it in the name of Beelzebul as well. They will be your judges. But then I love this. Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God. Don't you love it? I mean, not even the hand of God. Just the finger of God causes demons to leave. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you.
Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. As I frequently say, Satan is as strong as God wants him to be, and not one whit more. When the finger of God comes against him, he must flee. Thanks so much for joining us today, and at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. And I also want to thank the many of you who pray for us. We appreciate that more than I could possibly tell you. So continue to pray for us. Thank you for those who support us financially. In all these ways, we are trying to share the gospel with as many people as possible. So I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer has just begun Getting Spiritual Warfare Right, another in a series of messages from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Jesus taught the parable of a strong man to explain the principles of fighting battles in the realm of the Spirit. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.